Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance for something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking. Chuck Garfine here with Scott Merkin of MLB.com in Glendale, Arizona. And he's already coughing. You okay, Mark?
Yeah, I feel like Andy Rooney. Like, I get a weekly segment now on the podcast. No, it's great to be back. It's great to be back. But I'm okay. Just a little choking there.
Okay. Well, listen, we're talking here today because a lot of news came here from Camelback Ranch, beginning with the roster moves. Number one being Eloy Jimenez being sent down to AAA. Here's all of it: Cease, Jimenez, Jordan Stevens, Sebi Savala to AAA, Mike Rodolfo to AA Birmingham, and then Zach Collins, Jimmy Lambert, Don Roach, and Luis Robert to minor league camp. But let's first talk about Eloy Jimenez. We're going to hear from Rick Hahn, his thoughts on all these moves and other things. But, you know, it's a slippery slope, this whole service time thing. I'm assuming that's the reason. I know he was not hitting very well. He batted 154 with a home run, 9 strikeouts, no walks in spring. But your thoughts on Jimenez going down to AAA to start the season?
Well, I talked to him, and I'm sure you've talked to him. Everyone's talked to him. If you haven't talked to Eloy Jimenez during camp, you're probably not doing the right job covering the White Sox in spring training. And the one thing that bothered him of the numbers was the strikeouts. That's not his game. He's a power hitter. He's a good hitter. You know, he's kind of like people compared to Manny Ramirez, Miguel Cabrera, that kind of player. Of course, he hasn't played one pitch of Major League Baseball yet in terms of regular season. But you could tell that was the one thing that he wasn't. Nothing really bothers this young man too much, but that was the one thing that you could see that of those stats, which are meaningless for the most part, he didn't like the strikeouts. I mean, you know, Rick didn't really say, what was missing one way or the other on him. I think... You can make an argument that maybe he needs a little more time to get better. Now, granted, he was lights out last year. He was unbelievable, one of the best, you know, players in minor league baseball last year. And I think he'll be fine once he gets to the majors. We talked to Jose Abreu today, and, you know, Jose knows his talent, and Jose knows what he's about. I mean, but there's no guarantee that he's going to come up and hit three. I think you asked the question about everyone wants him to hit 400 all the time. You know, he may come up and struggle at the beginning. There's going to be, as Rick said, nothing, you know, development is not linear. But, you know, I think part of it probably is the service time, although that will never be spoken of in public, obviously, or period, by the team. But, you know, that they could feel that they were very complimentary of him. They know his talent. He's in very good shape. I think he's in different shape than when they first got him, and better shape, I should say. And, you know, he's improving in left field and probably still has a little more to go there. I don't believe, whether it's a certain date or a little farther in, that you're going to see Jimenez with Charlotte too long this year.
Yeah, I mean, where I sit, it's like this service time thing needs to be changed with the next CBA. I mean, it's a no-win situation for Eloy, who belongs to be in the major leagues. I'm not a scout. I'm not a general manager. But he passes the eye test.
Right.
He should be in the major leagues. And it puts the White Sox in a bad spot because they are playing – if this is the reason why he's not going to start the season, they're playing by the rules that are there in front of them, just like the Cubs did with Chris Bryant.
And it's different rules for Eloy than Chris Bryant because Eloy's on the 40-man. Chris Bryant was not on the 40-man. So I believe it's 21 days from the beginning of the season that Eloy, being on the 40-man, has to be down for that extra year of service time. So, and I mean, let's be honest, and I think there's not one Sox fan out there who's upset about this, and I think even Eloy gets it. You know, for a team that their best days are going to be what? Probably maybe 2020, but 2021 and beyond. It makes sense to have these guys as long as you can possibly have them under control, right?
Yeah, in 2027, is that the year?
It's 2025, isn't it?
The year is, if it's 2025, 2026.
So if 21 is like, let's say, because of some of these injuries, let's say 2021 is going to be the 2020 is the year they really compete. 2021 is the year. All right, this is when we want to start. This should be the start of our championship contention. Then it makes sense. And again, for those of you who went, we can say betting now, I think, right? Who went to Vegas and put money down in Aloy to win the American League Rookie of the Year? I wouldn't rip that piece of paper up. I think you're going to have a good chance. You know, he's going to have enough time this year, plenty of time to win an award like that. Although that's, a minor thing compared to just him getting here and being the White Sox left fielder for many years to come.
Yeah, my point is, okay, so it's 6 or 7 years. So you'll get the seventh year of Eloy. So my point is that in that year, I can't even do the math in my head right now, but it looks like 2026, you'll be happy that you have him for a full season as opposed to 2 weeks or whatever it is, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in April, unless he doesn't even go to free agency. And that's a whole other topic. I just don't like talking about this. It's business as opposed to the game, the sport. I hate it.
It'll be good when he's up. And you hope for his sake and all that. I mean, here's an interesting conundrum. Big vocabulary word there. What if he goes down in April and let's say for the first time really in his career he struggles? Let's say the spring training numbers were symptomatic of something else, just a little funk he's in. If he hits 180 at Charlotte, let's say in the first month, which I don't see. I think by accident, this guy's so good that he'll hit 240, 250, no matter, even in the worst times. Then what do the Sox do? Do they still say, nope, he's ready, he was just down there for that time? I mean, they're not going to say that, but what do the Sox do at that point? Do they say, well, maybe he needs some, Rick, I mean, it's Rick's decision. It's the Sox decision what is needed at that point. His offense looks pretty darn polished as it is. So I don't know if 1 month of a little bit of struggles, unless there's something really symptomatic wrong there that you can see, is going to make a difference one way or the other.
All right, let's hear from Rick Hahn. He talked about, you were there, I was there, Sun Times was there, and we asked him about Eloy, Cease, Adolfo, Irvin Santana, Jose Abreu, and yes, Dane Dunning, who looks like he might be headed towards Tommy John surgery. It's definitely a possibility. Here's Rick Hahn speaking here at Camelback Ranch.
What was your take on what Eloy did? I know there's focus on the spring training numbers, which probably don't matter in the long run. But what did you see from him while he was up here?
Look, obviously, we're still extremely bullish on his future. We think he's going to be an impactful White Sox for a long time, and sending him out really doesn't change our long-term view of him. I think he responded very well to some of the things we talked about with him towards the end of last season. You guys saw how he looks physically. He took very seriously his conditioning, his nutrition, and came into camp in great shape. And I think it showed when he was out there playing. Obviously, the defense continues to be a work in progress, that we think he is getting more comfortable in left field, and he'll only get better with repetition. I think, looking at it from an offensive standpoint, I give him a lot of credit for being, not only fully aware of where he was at in terms of being his timing being off, but, being honest with himself and honest with everybody else about how he felt at the plate. And that's only going to improve with repetition, and zero long-term concerns about where he's headed. But obviously right now the offense is and timing isn't quite where it needs to be.
Dylan Cease says he feels ready now. What do you want to see from him?
Cease is an interesting case because not too dissimilar from a year ago right now when we were talking about Michael Kopech, you see a big league arsenal and you see a guy who not only would be able to survive but have success at the big league level. However, similar to Michael Kopech a year ago, his career high in innings is something like 124, 125, somewhere in there. So it'd be very difficult to sit here today and say, oh, I envision Dylan Cease taking the ball every fifth day throughout a six-month major league season. He's never taken the ball every fifth day through a five-month season, really, much less a six-month season. So from an arsenal standpoint and a makeup standpoint and a confidence standpoint, yeah, I could see why he's saying that, and I could see why some scouts would agree with that. But we need to have a plan, which we've worked on with Dylan and we continue to put together and we'll remain flexible on, but have a general framework for how to get him through an entire season strong. Certainly he continues on the trajectory he's on, we certainly foresee him seeing him in Chicago at some point over the course of the summer, too.
Jose Abreu was just talking about Robert and said, you know, the talent's there. He's just got to stay healthy. Is that pretty much the basic underlying theme
Absolutely.
For Luis at
that Absolutely. Point? It's just let's get this kid, you know, a chance to play on a regular basis, knock on wood, stay healthy, and once he gets on one of these in one of these rhythms that we've seen spurts of, avoid any, you know, minor any injuries issues whatsoever, so he can just continue to grow from what he is now. But very very excited for his future as well, and hopefully we can we've gotten past these minor things and he can have a full, healthy, successful season.
I think Sox fans are expecting Yoli Jimenez to bat 400 at all times, and we saw him struggle in the spring. What did you see from his struggles, and in some weird way might that help him with the expectations for himself?
I think his expectations remain very high. I think he, you know, we were talking to him yesterday. It was a very honest conversation, and I think he felt a little disappointed in himself that he wasn't quite, you know, the normal Eloy that has an extraordinarily high standard for anyone to maintain at all times. You guys have heard me say time and again, there's a benefit to these guys from a developmental standpoint when they fail. And it teaches them the tools they need to adapt and adjust, since obviously that's going to happen a lot over the course of a big league career. And being able to learn those skills at the minor league level where there's a little bit less scrutiny on you is a positive. So again, we have zero doubt about the type of the ceiling that Eloy has and the impact that he potentially could have on this club for a long, long time. And, you know, him not quite living up to his own high expectations at this time doesn't change our long-term perspective of him at one bit.
Is Luis one of those guys that you could see getting called up this season or maybe next?
You know, it's premature. It's early. Had he had a full season of at-bats last year and hadn't dealt with the couple of injury issues, then it might have been a little easier to predict how this year was going to go. Right now, let's just get him out playing and keep him healthy for an extended period of time, and then we'll react accordingly. He does have the advanced tools and the advanced talent that you could see him come quickly once he gets his legs under him and once he gets his routine down. So I'm not going to put any limits on what we see from him this year, but it's quite frankly a little hard for me to make a prediction at this point where he's going to end up.
Coop dropped a Brad Radke and Jimmy Lambert yesterday.
He's been doing that a lot back there in the coach's room.
Is he kind of a sleeper a little bit? I mean, maybe not as prominent
as
some of
the... Yeah, I don't know. Yes. Is he a sleeper in this system? Yes. In a lot of organizations, he's probably gets a little bit more notoriety because he had a tremendous year last year. He made great strides and is a smart player about how he goes about his approach, and he is I think he's taken a nice step forward in his career in part because of the work he's done with our coaches, in part because of the work he's done on the analytics side in terms of learning how he has success and emphasizing those elements, and he's a guy who's gonna play a role on a good big league club at some point in the future. We really like Jimmy.
And Adolfo said he was hoping outfield by sometime this summer, he thought.
Oh, yeah. It'll be sometime this summer. That one, again, he's on a throwing program. He's progressing nicely. I suspect at some point, you know, there'll be some growing pains as he goes through that whole process. But we absolutely expect to see him in the outfield this summer. I don't quite have a date when that's going to happen, but he's continuing to progress on the throwing program and is on track for that.
Irvin Santana hasn't had a game to pitch in yet, but you know he's come back from the finger injury. Do you know where he's at? Are you feeling better about him going forward here in 2019 now that he's here and you're seeing him pitch?
Yeah, we do feel good about where he's at right now. He's climbing, and he came to us, not surprisingly, a little bit behind because of, you know, arriving late to camp as well as coming off of the finger issue. But just this morning he was explaining how good he feels. We've had zero issues with the finger. We've got him on a very precise program, and you'll see him in an A game here in the next week or so, and then we'll build from there. Our early schedule is such that we don't necessarily need the fifth starter till April 10th if we don't want to use a fifth starter before April 10th. So we have that potential for a little bit of extra time for a guy like Irvin or whoever we decide to go with in that spot.
Is there any update on Dane Dunning, or is he still on the...
There is an update on Dane Dunning. Dane Dunning is going to meet with Dr. Andrews on Monday in Florida. all options, including surgery, are on the table at this point. He progressed through his throwing program, felt a little discomfort at some point, so we immediately shut it down and decided to have him visit James Andrews again. So that appointment will be on Monday, and you know, everything's on the table, including a potential Tommy John surgery.
After last season, 100 losses, do you think that this is like a season that you can see start to see a change in how the team is going to be performing?
I think you will. I think you're going to see continued progress from some of the young guys who were here last year, whether it's Moncada or Giolito, certainly Lopez Rodon and TA. We project to play big roles going forward, and I think you're going to continue to see progress from all of them. Obviously, some of the young players we talked about today, who even though they were sent out today, we project to play roles on a club going forward, and we think there'll just be another wave of talent that's coming and another right behind them. So look forward to seeing this continued progress.
All right, lots to get to there. Let's start with Dunning. And, you know, I think the White Sox, you could have said, oh, he should have had TJ surgery months ago, but there was nothing there that showed him. You don't put someone under the knife if there's no 100% certainty that he needs it. And they've been babying it, and I shouldn't say babying it, but they've been watching it and taking good care of it. It just has not gotten better.
As long as I've been covering baseball, I've never heard of preventive Tommy John surgery. So if it's not there, it's not there. You know, I was here for Instructional League. James Fegan of The Athletic was down here, and I think you came shortly after that. And we talked to him, we saw him, you know, throw, and he was real optimistic at that point. He felt good. He felt like, you know, and the Sox, talking to some of the Sox people when it first happened, they didn't think it was as bad as it turned out being. But, you know, eventually you can't pitch through the pain and got to have some sort of decision made. And it does, I mean, Rick certainly did not say that this is a given. But if you include it in the equation that all options are on the table, including Tommy John, you have a feeling that it's going to be Tommy John is going to be decided upon.
I mean, this just, I'll just say it. It sucks. This is the second prospect, big prospect in these trades that need Tommy John surgery. And Dunning seemed like the kind of guy, if that turns out to be the case, of all the prospects who would probably not need it just because of the way he throws.
I would say this, just from what I've heard, and I don't know if you heard the same, I think if he was completely healthy and didn't have the problem, I think he would have been in competition for the fifth starter spot out of camp this year. I think he was that far along already. So now it's going to be, you know, what, 18 months, right, usually is the timetable. And you see Michael Kopech, who's, you know, throwing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and gradually progressing back in distance and, you know, handling it very well, handling it expertly right now. But it's sad when, you know, not that it made it any better if they were struggling, but both had pitched so well and then gone through that issue and had the problem. So, you know, hopefully it's an easy recovery for him, and by the time he's ready and Jake Berger's ready and some of these other guys who've been injured, they'll be ready to go as a team, you know, at that point.
Yeah, you want these injuries, I guess, to happen now? I mean, not in 20... Happen, right? you don't want it in 2021.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jake Berger, who's doing real well right now on the minor league side, but he had that second tier literally like a month after the first... No, maybe a little more than a month after the first one. But could you imagine if he had gone through all that work and then, like, here in camp a year later, had it happen again and then set him back? So, I mean, if he had to have it, it almost came at the right time for him.
I guess if you want to say that. Okay. And then Irvin Santana, so it looks like he will not probably break camp with the White Sox, but I think it would be it's optimistic to think that he's probably going to be that fifth starter once he's ready.
Well, Rick is good about saying something without saying something, and he today told us about that. They're very impressed with what he's done. Irvin Santana was talking today how good he feels, no pain in the finger that he had operated on last year. But Rick said because of that surgery and because of when he came to camp, he's behind. And then he dropped that, you know, they wouldn't need a fifth starter until April 10th. So that kind of lets you know that maybe he won't be quite ready. I think a lot of us, because of the fact that he hasn't pitched in a Cactus League game yet, thought that maybe it would be like mid-April for Irvin. But I do believe it. I think Manny Benuelos has thrown well. You know, one guy I've been tremendously impressed with is Dylan Covey. He's been great this camp and really pitched pretty well overall last year. You know, he had a stretch that was really bad. Otherwise, he was good the whole year. So, you know, I think there are options there. But I think Irvin Santana, when he's healthy, is going to be the fifth starter in that rotation.
All right.
I shouldn't say when healthy. When he's ready. He's healthy now. When he's ready, he'll be number five.
Okay, and you want to go Robert?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's another one who, if he had played healthy all last year, I think his skill set is such that they might have taken a chance on him at some point this year, maybe later in 2019. But the fact that he only had, what, 150 at-bats or somewhere around that because of all the injuries, and then jammed his thumb again here, sliding, you know, and was out another, what, 10 days, I don't think 2019 is going to be – a possibility. But I think the key thing for him, and Jose, again, very wise man, Jose Abreu said this today, is that got to stay healthy. Now, there's no magic trick to make him be healthy, but you need a full season for him and let him take off, and then maybe 2020 we'll see him.
Okay, I think Sox fans need a little bit of positive news before we send it back to Chicago, and you're going to hear from Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber. Jose Abreu today, quote, "I don't want to disrespect any former teammates, but this atmosphere that we're experiencing here is probably the best one that I've had in spring training with this organization." He said, "There are a lot of Latin players here. The white guys are making an effort to blend with us, and we are making an effort to blend with them. I think that has made the relationship, the atmosphere, better. That's a key why the atmosphere is better this spring. Not just atmosphere, but he also sees guys who are in this clubhouse who know how to win, and they know what it takes to win. And part of that is not just the talent on the field, but creating an environment in the clubhouse, a winning environment."
First of all, your reading comprehension is off the charts. And a very overlooked skill in your total.
I remembered all of that. No, I was reading it off my Twitter feed.
But, you know, one thing I want to say about Jose is, isn't it amazing how well he puts forward his feelings, even though he does it through an interpreter, even does it through Billy Russo? I mean, you can watch him and listen to him and get the sense of what he's saying. And you know that he comprehends a lot of our questions at this point. But I think you really, he makes a point of kind of letting you know what it's about instead of just kind of giving an answer and let Billy kind of work with it. So, yeah, I mean, I got the sense that he was in a good place with this team. And, you know, I think a number of Sox fans are hoping it's not his last place with this team and not last place period for the team. But, I mean, that'll be something to talk about as the year goes on. But, yeah, it is a good clubhouse. There's a good mix. And I think there's a lot of people who were nothing against Machado, and Harper really wasn't in the mix, but I think they were probably tired of talking about that. You know, tired of talking about, is he coming, is he not? They would have loved to have had him. How could you not? He's one of the best players in the game. But they're pretty confident in what they have right here. Whether that manifests itself in a huge surprise or maybe 78 wins this year, I think either way it's going to be a better group than what the 62-100 was last year.
Thank you very much, Scott. All Merkin, right, appreciate it. Second
Vikings forever.
Oh, Vikings forever? Yeah. Yes, thank you. Home with Flossmer Vikings. All right, going to break here on the White Sox Talk podcast. Up next, Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber with their thoughts on Eloy Jimenez and Dane Dunning and so many other things. Making news here at camp. You're listening to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Back in a moment.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Back here on the White Sox Talk podcast, Ryan McGuffey and Vinny Duber in Chicago. This is our, I believe, our second time now of having Merk and Chuck down in Arizona. You and I here in Chicago. And obviously, the news today, not unexpected, about Eloy Jimenez being optioned to Charlotte, Dylan Cease, among others. But maybe the timing, a little curious in terms of, you know, we're about 2 weeks from opening day. Your take on Eloy being sent down today?
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to be coming eventually here in the month of March. It was just a matter of when. You know, the White Sox are playing by the rules. They know the financial realities of the game. They're not going to say that this is a service time issue, but I think it's going to be hard for a lot of people, a lot of fans especially, to see this as anything but at this point.
It is a service time issue.
And, you know, you look around the game, and the Toronto Blue Jays are going through the same thing. Here in Chicago 4 years ago, we went through the same thing with Chris Bryant. So Chicago baseball fans should be well versed in this by now. Eloy Jimenez will be spending a few weeks in AAA Charlotte, you would have to imagine, before eventually making his major league debut sometime in April.
The one thing that stood out to me in Rick Hahn's availability down in Arizona was that he mentioned his timing seemed to be off. Obviously, he didn't have a great spring his spring is still ongoing, but he's hitting under 150. He's shown, you know, he's had one home run. I think he had one double. But he's never lost a smile. He's never lacked confidence. I don't think you and I have ever like fretted or worried about, oh God, like maybe he's not ready. I think the timing thing was curious though. Probably just a little twink or something in the cage.
I mean, it's possible that, you know, Rick Hahn's got to find something to say, you know, to why. I mean, there's got to be a reason they're sending him down that they can present to reporters and to the public. And, you know, I'm certainly not accusing anybody of doing anything nefarious here, but, you know, you take a look at the stat sheet, and that's a convenient excuse of perhaps what he needs to work on. And it's not even an excuse. You know, if these are things that are
preventing him from hitting well, whether he's at the minor league level or the major league level, he's going to have to work on him to get him better. So I'm not going to be concerned ever about offensive numbers in spring training. For Eloy Jimenez, it was a handful of games, a handful of exhibition games. It's nothing to be worried about, but certainly it's going to be a few weeks, perhaps almost a whole month here from today, until we see him on the south side.
It's also nothing to be upset about. And I think there probably will be a little backlash and some fans be upset. But look, this is the right thing to do from a business standpoint. And it's everyone, like you said, if everyone else is doing it, it's not a reason for you to do it. But until the rule or the law changes in the 2021 new CBA, this is the right way to play this situation.
Well, and here's the thing. Fans would perhaps be upset because they want to see him here now, right? He's supposed to be a great player, and he could help them win baseball games. He's going to miss about, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks of regular season action. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. And this is a team that is not expected to contend for a playoff spot in 2019. If you want to throw away that extra year way down the road of him under team control for a few more wins in April, then you're going to, you know, have him be on the opening day roster. But to me and to the White Sox, that whole extra year when you might be a prime World Series contender versus a few extra wins in the month of April when you are not expected to make the playoffs, there's really no contest there.
Dylan Cease, Zach Collins, Sebi Zavala, Luis Robert, among others, sent no surprises, will be optioned or start – various locations. Many of those I just named will be in Charlotte. Luis Robert probably gets this. Do you think Birmingham? Maybe single A there since he was so banged up last year.
Yeah, we'll see. If you go back and look at the numbers, I mean, he didn't get a lot of action there at Winston-Salem. Yeah. I think when we were talking to Omar Vizquel, who's going to be the new manager at Birmingham during spring training, he said, you know, we'll probably see Luis at some point. I don't know when, so I don't know if that was an indication of where he might or might not start. I don't think it really matters. What really matters for Luis Robert is getting those at-bats, staying healthy, playing every day, getting the kind of experience under his belt that can then allow him to take off from that point and maybe make it to the big leagues a little quicker. Because the thing that's holding him from flying through the system right now is that he's only played 50 games of minor league baseball in the United States of America. That's a very small number. I mean, you know, heck, Nick Madrigal is closing in on that number, and he didn't even start playing for the White Sox until late last summer. So it really doesn't matter where Luis Robert starts. He has the tools to be a very fast mover once he gets that base of games under him.
Great point about Madrigal there. The other, and maybe the biggest news from today is on Dane Dunning. And we heard Chuck and Merck discuss this, but it appears all signs are pointing towards Dane Dunning needing Tommy John surgery. Obviously, I don't want to just say that that's definitive because there's an appointment on Monday with Dr. James Andrews to get his elbow looked at again. But the fact that he felt discomfort in his throwing program and they shut him down immediately, at this point, with as much that has gone on with this elbow dating back to midseason or early last year, it just feels inevitable that Tommy John is coming.
It is obviously not a sure thing yet that that's the how this is going to play out.
Right.
But when you've got your general manager saying that it is a possibility, it's a possibility. And if that's what ends up happening, that is going to be just a huge bummer, you know, all around for this. Because A, Dane Dunning had a tremendous 2018 season before he was shut down in late June. You had Rick Hahn saying at SoxFest this year that if it wasn't for that injury, Dane Dunning might have been in the major league starting rotation now.
Yeah.
He might have been the fifth starter in this starting rotation right now, which is crazy to think with the way they've been patient with all of these guys, but that's how well Dane Dunning was throwing last year. Then you combine that with Michael Kopech's Tommy John surgery.
You're 40%. If that's true, off of what Rick said, 40% of your rotation for 2019 is on the shelf with Tommy John.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, and that's but not only that, then you're talking about the delay in these guys is starting. And I mean, we've talked about it with Kopech as well. Not only are you just missing 2019 with Kopech and the winning that he can help you do in 2019, you're missing a full year of major league development in a guy that you think might be the ace of your starting rotation. By the time he makes his next start at the beginning of 2020, when a lot of the other guys around him might be ready to start competing, he's going to be making his fifth major league appearance.
Yeah, and if Dane Dunning needs Tommy John, you're looking at probably June of 2021 for when he would come. No, June of 2020-ish probably for when he'd be due to come back. And clearly it's not something they're just going to plop him right in the middle of the major league rotation.
Of course not. He's got a lot of time left.
Minor leagues. And he's 24. So, look, prospects have setbacks. This is not the first time where things haven't gone the right way, and the injuries are going to happen. Jake Berger is another good example of a position player. That's why that they've gone out and accumulated this much talent over the course of the last 3 years. It doesn't take the pain away anymore because these are good guys, and the talent level, it's just it kind of at a loss for words. It feels like the tide has to start shifting. There's been a lot of dark clouds in the last few months. If you go back to Michael Kopech blowing out,
it's bad luck. It's really bad luck. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to go all the way back to Michael Kopech. Obviously, you mentioned Jake Berger. We just talked about Luis Robert, who was limited because of injuries last year.
I'm talking about like catastrophic season ending right from the start, whether it's an Achilles or Tommy John. You have had three injuries like that.
Whew. It's a bummer. Yeah. It's a bummer is what it is. It's a bummer. Now, the good news is, White Sox fans, Eloy Jimenez will be here in about a month.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot to love. There's a lot to love about what's coming. Eloy, Dylan Cease, development from – I think Ronaldo Lopez is going to take a huge step forward. Well, you have to see what's going to happen with Lucas Giolito. He needs to take a big step forward. And then Yoan Moncada. You know, Yoan Moncada could have an Eloy type of impact on 2019 if we see the guy we thought we were supposed to see last year.
Sure, and there's a lot of questions as to whether or not that can be the case.
Absolutely.
Chief among them, I think, that position switch. I mean, you know, that's going to be a lot on his plate, whether for good, for better or worse. We heard Rick Renneria talk a lot about it in spring training, about how it could be a positive on both the offensive and defensive side. So we'll see. We'll see. But obviously, there are guys who can make a big difference. I think a guy that you mentioned in Dylan Cease, which is interesting too, because we had news on him today also going down to Charlotte. What if he doesn't run into the same speed bumps that Michael Kopech did last year? You know, Rick Hahn keeps talking about Cease being on the same track as Kopech or a very similar track as Kopech, and then we saw Kopech in late August. Well, you know, there was that decently long stretch of more than a month where Kopech was walking the world. What if Cease doesn't do that? He could be here perhaps even quicker. So
yeah, and we don't know. I think the rotation today, sitting here, I have concerns about the depth for sure, and who's going to exactly throw 200 innings. I don't know. You know, Carlos Rodon's never thrown 30 starts in a season. We're getting in Ivan Nova. Can he replace James Shields in terms of the innings that you're losing with James Shields? I don't know. You're asking for Lopez and Giolito to take massive steps, and then how much does Irvin Santana have left in the tank? You're right. I mean, if Dylan Cease shows no signs of struggle and he just continues to move on, he could be up here sooner than later. I don't know. A lot to discuss. Eloy Jimenez is starting the season in Charlotte. That is not breaking news, but it is in terms of this podcast because it's March 12th and he's been optioned to Charlotte. But you know what? In a month or so, we're going to be doing the Eloy Jimenez's Welcome to Chicago podcast, and that's going to feel good.
Yes, sir.
All right. So for Chuck, Merck, Vinny Duber, I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking, free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/socks. Hawk, you know the drill.
And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.